From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Thousands of South African women and girls have been protesting alongside their supporters to demand action against sexual violence. The South African government's own statistics show the shocking rate of one woman being murdered every 3 hours in the country. South Africa has the fourth highest femicide rate in the world. The recent rape and killing of a 19-year-old woman named Uyinene Mwethyana, who was a student at the University of Cape Town, sparked so much anger that many are now calling on President Cyril Ramaphosa to declare a national emergency. Women are organizing under the social media hashtag #AmiNext, reminiscent of the U.S. origin Me Too movement. We go now to South Africa to speak with Lucinda Evans, Executive Director of the Felisa Abafazi Bethu Women and Children's Program in Lavender Hill in Cape Town. Welcome to the program, Lucinda.
Hi, Sonali. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you so much for joining us. So first, tell us about the case of this young student from the University of Cape Town. What happened to her?
So on the 24th of August, Uneni went to the post office to get a package that was sent to her. She was told by the alleged perpetrator that the electricity was off and she had to come back. And then when Uneni came back at the post office, he locked them in, he sexually assaulted her, and he killed her. And she was missing. There was missing persons, and they were looking for her for a few days. And it led to this person at the post office, and then her body was discovered. And, you know, this, in the same week, another 19-year-old student, Jesse Hess, and her grandfather, they both were killed in their flat. And this sparked one of the, I would say, the biggest revolution since 1956 for women, for us in South Africa. And we took to the streets Wednesday last week. The university students of UCT and a collective, they wanted to go and speak to our president at the CTICC center. And they were met with force from the police. So Thursday last week, when Fight Back organized the gathering in front of Parliament, I spoke as a leader. I was the first speaker. And my priority at the march was to ensure that the police will not touch us. They will not fight with us. They will not use stun grenades and water cannons. So when I spoke in my mother tongue, I warned them, because we were over 17,500 women at the march, that they will not touch us. And then, of course, I spoke about the issues that, as an organization working with gender-based violence, we deal with every day. I have an emergency battered woman safe house where we do frontline emergency services every day. And that gathering of us got us as women to speak. And one of the deep conversations, and within my speech, I said, we are so divided. We are divided by our race. We are divided by our ethnicity. We are divided even where we live. We call it women on the mountain, which is women that are from the suburbs. We are women from the townships. And the issue for us is about the protection of our vaginas. I use the lingo of our township so that people understood why we are fed up, we are angry. And then the president came and he addressed us. And two of the things that he said was that, you know, there will be no bail for alleged perpetrators that are going to go to court when it comes to bail hearings and the maximum sentencing. And, you know, our sentiments currently is that these things can only change when we relook at our constitution. We have a beautiful constitution. And our constitution was written in a way to protect the rights of us all. But we find within our constitution currently that the alleged perpetrator is protected more than the survivor. And we have a fundamental issue with our criminal justice system. And we, one of the, our demands were, why is it when a woman goes to court, she has to prove that he did it to her? We want him to prove that he didn't do it to her. One of the other issues that we had with the criminal justice system is also that our sexual offences register is not updated. And one of the undertakings that the president has given us is that that register will be updated. Because Uneni's alleged perpetrator was out on parole for sexual violence. He was employed in a government institution where vetting and screening, his vetting and screening results came up as a problem, and yet he was employed in a government institution. And so we are asking, we are demanding that those compulsory vetting and screening should even now be looked at against the sexual offences registry.
Now, do you feel that there will be justice in the case of the 19-year-old woman's death, Uinene Mrithyana, because there's so much attention paid to her case, the killer is known, the rapist is known, and that there will be some form of justice?
Well, we want justice for all women, including Uneni, that have died. Because we find that we will go to court with cases like Uneni and many other South African women that have died for 1 to nearly 3 years. And we are saying these cases need to be fast-tracked. We do not want the family to be re-traumatized and to relive all of these horrors. We are saying that we want from 1 to maximum 9 months before sentencing. And for these perpetrators, they should be the maximum sentence. Maximum for us, 50 years. We do not want to see you. Some other South Africans are feeling stronger. There has been an outcry to bring back the death penalty. And lots of questions are being asked. Would the death penalty be the stopping mechanism? Would the death penalty be a deterrent? We know that as a nation, that for nearly 300 years, you know, we were subjected to violence. Women, us, currently where we are in South Africa, it's even worse for us. And so the mobilization and different women's groups coming together to do different things. We have pressure groups at the moment that is supporting the family of the victims that have died. There are groups that are writing bail denial letters. There are petitions that are signed by thousands and thousands of women that we don't want these perpetrators to have bail. For us as an organization in the townships, I am currently looking at what are the support systems that should be in place at police stations when women arrive. Are the police stations adequately equipped with victim-friendly volunteers in the victim-friendly rooms? And, you know, today, Friday, I had a meeting with the provincial police where I said the non-governmental organizations, the NGOs, is ready to come and take hands. For us and for me as a leader, after Thursday last week, 17,500 of us, we said it's enough. We've had enough. The president has spoken, but the what next for us is important because we cannot wait for our government to invite us back to parliament. So the what next for me is that I have started through, and I am an affiliate to the 1 Billion Rising campaign in South Africa. I'm starting 1 Billion Rising in South Africa, in Cape Town. And one of our key objectives is that we're going to strengthen the victim support rooms that are attached to the police stations. We are going to partner with the Family, Child and Sexual Offences Unit, which is a component of the South African Police Services, so that we get the specialisation services of volunteers to help these police officers. Currently, and as I've spoken today, Friday, on my Facebook page about Jesse Hiss, also a 19-year-old university student that was killed in a home. And up until now, there are no leads to this case. And what we are saying as South African women is that our lives matter, our children's lives matter, because the stats that came out Thursday was the horror of the horror, but this is what we understand. We know that the reflection of what was presented in government about the stats, we live it every day. I start my day as a leader being woken up with a death of a woman. I run a battered woman emergency center, and we get a call daily. We hear about rapes daily. You know, the last 9 days have been, for all of us that are doing frontline work, it's been extremely, extremely hard, Sonali. I'm currently on a camp. We had to pack up and just come. We are at the Grail Women's Retreat Center. And we said that we need to just pull ourselves towards ourselves, because we have to go back on Sunday and we have to be back in the trenches. And, you know, we made a commitment that it's not going to be just a 1 week or 2 week campaign and then we're done. I made a declaration as a Khoisan woman from the townships that never gets the opportunity to speak to other women from the mountain, that it needs to be 365 days protection for women. And I've asked every single person that is able to hear my voice that I need help to help the women in my country, to help the women in my province, because the policy and the constitution of our country needs to change so that there are protection for all of us. Women that are fortunate to have private security versus women that have to walk in dark streets 4 a.m. in the morning to go to work. Because one of the things that I've said, the we're still living in apartheid environmental design, where I live as a Khoisan woman in the community, there are, in some of my areas, there's adequate lighting. So at 4 o'clock in the morning, there's a light burning and women are walking, but it's unsafe, versus women that are living in the Nyanga, in Khayelitsha, in Bontville, in Hanover Park, where they will walk and it's dark and they will be attacked. And so one of the on-the-ground campaigns that I am spending my energy, my breath to, and I have no other tools, I have no other means. We are not fund-supported. I'm using social media and I'm saying the provincial government of the Western Cape, are you looking at our safety in terms of some of the women are still walking through bushes to catch public transport? Some of the women are still walking in dark. Our informal settlements that we are living in, there isn't adequate spotlighting to light up the informal settlement. And in our informal settlement, it's dense. The shacks are on top of each other. They are, the alleyways are very narrow. And yet our women have to go to work at 4 a.m. in the morning, including children have to travel at 5 a.m. to go to school. And some women are coming back 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. So two of the things that fundamentally for me, fundamentally to a lot of us, is the protection. And there's a lot of women that has come and said, we have to teach self-defense. We have to learn how to protect ourselves. You know, with a self-defense, if you put up a fight, it becomes even more violent. And I'm saying to our local government, I'm saying to the national government, you have a responsibility to ensure that the environmental design of the Western Cape and all the provinces in this country that is still there because of the legacy of apartheid is putting all of us at risk.
Lucinda, I'm wondering how men have been responding as this movement has made itself visible just over the past week and a half. Are South African men speaking up, showing their solidarity, realizing that they need to be doing the work as well?
I don't think enough. To be very honest, you know, the anger that are being lashed out at men. I mean, at our march, we've seen so many men are trash hashtags that was there. And we
men
were grateful.
Men are trash. Hashtag men are trash. A lot of people are using that.
Men are trash. Mm.
Yeah.
We were very grateful to the men that stepped up and joined us at the march, you know, and publicly apologized. But I want to ask the question, where are the men of the churches and the mosque? Mm. Because we are a country which is a religious country, and you will find that predominantly churches are led by men. And so for the churches that have stepped up, the men in the churches, I'm saying thank you. But for me, it's still too little. Because we need men to come alongside us and speak to other men. And so there was an interesting post that I saw the other day. And it stuck in my head, but it also burned in my heart. And on this woman's post, it says, women know other women that were raped. Men don't know rapists. And that for me, she had it. It was big and it was bold. And I stood there and I was saying Thursday at the march when I spoke about it, I said, where are the men that has to step up and that has to lead the charge alongside us? You know, our president, yes, he has spoken as he was forced to speak up. There were ministers in this week, male ministers that had the visuals, and the mayor of the city of Cape Town, which is a male, he also mobilized the councillors. But we want to see action. We appreciate the posters and the standing on the streets, but that needs to translate to action because we are feeling unsafe. We are not safe. So we need the men that is responsible for the protection of us, and it's not by choice. Tonight when we drove through to camp, I said, you know what? Our deputy president is not a female. The deputy minister of the police is not a female. And the deputy premier of the Western Cape is not a female. So when are we going to have the female voices in this space? I'm ready as an activist. I'm really ready to have a female president in the very, very near future. Because we have three men in our country and in my province that are responsible to make decisions about my vagina and all the other vaginas of the women in this province and in this country.
So finally, do you then hope that one of the outcomes of this movement is that women will be running for office to make those political decisions, see them being supported by other women as part of the fight for justice, broadly speaking?
I hope so. I hope that South African women will start looking at how can we support one of the women that will say, here am I. We need to back her. We need to support her. We need to fundraise for her. We need to fund her to be the next leader of this country, because we have arrived. You know, for 25 years, we have been part of the struggle as women of this country. We celebrate 9th of August every year because of what women has done in terms of pushing back of the past law. And I'm saying as a woman in 2019, with what is currently going on, we have to step up. as all women of South Africa. Where our colors shouldn't divide us, because it has. And I'm honest, I openly, honestly spoke about this on Thursday. We should be unified because of what is currently happening in our country. We are grateful for what has been done before, but it's time for us to step up now.
Lucinda, where can people find out more about the work you do? Is there a website you can give?
So we have a website called www.pilisaabufazi.org. We also have a Facebook called Pilisa Abufazi SA. And I have a Facebook page, which is Lucinda Evans, but I dropped the N in my name, so it's Lucinda Evans. And soon we will have our South African 1 Billion Rising campaign website, Protect the Women of the Country Facebook page up, and so people can contact me through this.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate the time you've spent with us and your thoughts on this. We'll be watching this story and maybe can have you back up, back on for follow-up. Thanks so much, Lucinda.
Thank you, Sonali. Bye.
My guest has been Lucinda Evans, Executive Director of the Pilisa Abufazi Bethu Women and Children's Program in Lavender Hill in Cape Town. She's one of the leaders in South Africa working against sexual violence aimed at women. She's also the coordinator of 1 Billion Rising South Africa. We've been discussing a movement opening up in South Africa being called the Am I Next Movement. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.